This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone. And welcome back to our Standing Watch program. We are all appalled by the murderous conduct of ISIS and what they are doing there in Iraq and other places. Appalled by their indecent conduct, the fact that they are just killing about everyone who is not submitting to their quote-unquote religious interpretation. And I don't call it even religious fanatics as some do. I call it barbarous murders and murderers because they believe in something which is so far away from any decency, it's just horrible. And when you think of how they executed and murdered the innocent American journalists, you should know what I'm talking about. And so the reaction is one of outrage, and it should be. But the question is, what should be done? And all kinds of solutions are proposed. Boots on the ground, military invasion, at least sending weapons to the Kurds, the ones who are fighting ISIS. But none of these actions are without risk, because after all, some of the groups within the Kurds, and they are terribly divided amongst themselves, have been declared in the past by America, by the EU, by Turkey as terrorists themselves. And so now passing on weapons to them in their fight against ISIS might be a very risky endeavor, because what is going to happen afterwards? And if history is our guide, we know how we have supported certain individuals like Osama bin Laden against Russia when he fought against Russia in Algeria, but now on Afghanistan, I should say. But now look what happened subsequently to that. And then, of course, America also supported Saddam Hussein with weapons. And you all know the story subsequent to that. So it's not without any risk. And the question now is, what are the solutions? And I actually do not envy any of the leaders, especially in the Western world. I believe they all mean well. They all want to do what is right, but they don't seem to have solutions, because quite frankly, there aren't any in this world. This is not God's world. This is not God's world. This is a world which is ruled by Satan, the devil, and his demons. And frankly, this is how the conditions in this world can be explained. Now, some have proposed, like Pope Francis, that now has come the time to engage in, quote-unquote, a just war. Now, he said, I don't propose a war, but I do say that we now have to stop ISIS militarily. I don't know what the difference is. Some in the Vatican have said, no, we have to actually go further than that, and we have to fight now a just war against the forces of evil. And so this concept of just war is being discussed again, a concept which the early Christians never knew about. It is something which Thomas Aquinas and others in 1200 and something came up with, and they developed a very complicated body of rules determining what just war was. Now, the question and the problem with a just war is, quite frankly, who is going to determine whether it's just, and can we avoid the killing of innocent people in such a just war? The answer is, of course, we cannot. We cannot. And the Bible nowhere tells us anything about Christians fighting in a just war. Think the atrocities which have been committed over the centuries under the disguise of just war. Think of the Inquisition, when Catholic priests tortured and finally killed innocent people who wouldn't want to submit to the religious beliefs of the Catholic Church. Think of the Crusades. Think of the time when the Catholic Church still had their own army, and they would use it to fight, literally fight, against religious minorities, such as the Waldenses, trying to either wipe them out or to bring them into the fold of the Roman Catholic Church's teaching, because the Waldenses obviously did not believe what the Roman Catholic Church believed. You see how easy a just war can be misused. The concept can be misused. And of course, it will not prevent, as I said, the killing of innocent people. Now, you think of the Gaza war right now, and even though, without any question, Hamas is the evil party in this game, nevertheless, Israel retaliating and bombing Gaza is killing in the process innocent people. There can be no doubt about it. Children are being killed. Women are being killed. And of course, this is being looked upon as casualties of war, the necessary evil which accompanies every war, so they say. But can you as a Christian participate in that, even in your thoughts? Because after all, when you stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and Christ is asking you, why did you kill that child in your engagement of war? And you might say, well, I didn't mean to. And Christ will ask you, but you knew that that could happen. And of course, what is your answer going to be? And even prior to standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ, you have to ask yourself the question, can you live with having killed an innocent person? Isn't that the reason why so many coming out of war are not capable any longer to live a normal life? They have psychological problems. Many commit suicide. They can't handle it. We have situations right now in Missouri as we speak, and people are snapping their left and right. Police officers as well as, quote-unquote, these demonstrators. Some of them are just there, of course, to create problems, as they always do. But it's a terrible, volatile situation. People try to do what they think is right, but is it right in the eyes of God? Now, we have prepared a booklet, a free booklet. And, of course, I like to request that you request it, totally free of charge, should you fight in war. This booklet explains the biblical teaching, both from the Old and the New Testament. And it's also explaining that there are solutions, but the solutions are not those which men come up with. You see, you might say, well, but something has to be done. We cannot sit there doing nothing when we see those murderers over there in Iraq, for instance, now declaring war on America. And I agree with you. Something needs to be done. What is it? What it is a very simple solution. We as a nation have to turn to God, the true God of the Bible, in prayer and ask Him to intervene. Do we believe that God can do this? Now, of course, if you don't believe it, then, of course, that solution is not feasible. But the Bible tells you from Genesis to Revelation that God is there to help His people. And He has proven it so many, many times. When the Israelites fled from Egypt and the Egyptians came to pursue them, what did God do? Well, He opened the Red Sea, as we all know, and Israel went through. And when the Egyptians tried to, they all drowned. Now, of course, God told them at that time, I will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, and you shall keep your peace. But do we believe that? Do we believe that today God could do the same thing? You see, God is terribly disgusted with the atrocities going on in this world, as He was terribly disgusted with the people at the time of Noah, and He wiped them all out, except for Noah and those who were in the ark. And God is telling us that a same situation will happen again in the not-too-distant future, and I believe we are already at the beginning stage of that development. And Christ said, if those days wouldn't be shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. Nobody would survive. No human being would survive, but also no animal would survive. It would be such a terrible, terrible time. Nuclear weapons will be used. You see, man's solutions cannot stop that. Of course, Paul says in the book of Romans that the way to peace man doesn't know anyhow, and there's bloodshed in front of his feet. And every attempt to fight enemies with means of military measurements has always failed and will fail. The solution is the return of Jesus Christ. The solution is that Jesus Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth, to rule this earth, and then the mind of people will change. At this point, if you were to talk to these ISIS murderers and try to explain to them the way of God, they would scoff at you, they would kill you before you would even have a chance, because their mind is totally closed, it's darkened, it's occupied by Satan, it's in the clutches of Satan. But when Christ will return, then he will open the minds of people. Now, there's no guarantee that those ISIS murderers, for instance, if some of them survive, will actually respond to Christ's words. But at least he will open their minds so that they could see if they wanted to. You see, that's the solution. But Christ is also asking us a question. He says, when I return, when the Son of Man returns, will I find faith on the earth? He also is telling us that we have to have the patience of Christ, the patience to wait for God. God will intervene very shortly now. He is absolutely fed up with the terrible misrule of man. He will intervene. He will make an end to the rule of Satan. Let's wait for him. Let's pray to God in the meantime that he will restrain the hands of those enemies, those wicked people, that he would not allow that these ISIS murderers will continue on their rampage of destruction. And if we as a nation would turn to God and would ask God for his intervention, do you believe that God could do that without us having to take hold of our weapons to try to fight them, something which is probably not going to work anyhow in the long run? No, God wants us to submit to him. God wants us to fight his battles for us. And there are many examples which we give in our free booklet on Should You Fight in War, where God has done that, where the leader of a nation has turned to God, has asked for fasting and for repentance, and God has heard, and God has intervened. It has happened then. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but it is up to us to find and then to carry out the right solution. So thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.